From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week, on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a pastor's call to be involved and the remnant of God in America. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. And I hope that you've had a blessed Thanksgiving week. This weekend, we're highlighting a few of the pastors who spoke at this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. And here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins as he introduces our program.
Well, among the speakers who took the stage was my battle buddy, Pastor Jack Hibbs, senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California. And he talked about why Christians, including pastors, need to get involved in the political process. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs at the Pray Vote Stand Summit.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank Tony and the incredible FRC team. And we're just delighted to be here, to be a part of what's going on. And I want to draw to your attention the fact that more than ever, our faith needs to take a stand. Now, that's just not Christian jargon. We need to do this, church family, like never before. The church has been marginalized, and the church has been set aside. The church has been viewed as something irrelevant. And listen, let's be honest. Much of that accusation against us is true. Somehow the church has gotten out of the lane of being the salt and light that God has called us to be. We live in an age of worry, an age of fear. And yet we as a nation, we should be above all nations able to take on fear, because the founding of this nation was not upon some great government idea. It was not upon some great political idea. Let's be honest. It was about the Pilgrim Fathers crafting that Mayflower Compact of only, what, basically two paragraphs. And in that paragraph of our nation's birth certificate, William Bradford and others wrote what this nation's purpose would be. Number one, those guys were prophetic. They were announcing that to the shores they had brought themselves to be ones who propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they came. We hear all kinds of news today about the 1619 project, that's the truth. No, you know what? You can talk about 1619. Not all those guys that talk about it are not telling you the truth. There's truth in 1619. It all depends on where you focus. Because there was a big secular wave of those who came from Europe as well. Did you know that? They came here for profit. They came here for gain. But don't stop at 1619. Go back to 1605, when Pastor Hunt on the Massachusetts shores put up a tent as a sail, broken sail from his ship, and he preached the gospel to the natives. Who wants to talk about that? American history is full of the move of God. Israel can talk about God in her history, and only the United States of America. Now, let me make something really clear, because I'm constantly labeled as a Christian nationalist. You know what? I don't accept labels. I don't accept intimidation, and I don't accept bullying. I just don't believe in them. Let me say this about those who are labeled Christian nationalists. Did God bring this nation into existence? To deny that is to deny God's work and to deny God's history and the nation of this country of ours, its history. If you love your country, if you're from Germany, don't you love Germany? If you don't love Germany, what's wrong with you? If you're from England, you should love England. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 that for those who are put in a place by God in their community, they should pray and be involved in the welfare of their community so that you and others live at peace. What's wrong with that? Do I believe Jesus could come back? You want to be upset with me? I believe Jesus could come back tonight. I'm waiting for him to return. But if he doesn't return, I've got grandkids. And I've got to leave this nation in the right hands. But Pastor, that's political. Let's talk about that. Should pastors be involved in politics? Listen, yes, especially if they're going to run for office. I know a lot of pastors that have run for office. Many have been elected. God bless them. But let's remember something. God established his sacred institutions. Israel's one of them. The church is one of them. Marriage is one of them. The family, right? And listen to this. According to your Bible, God established government. Did you know that? He didn't invent politics. That's what man does to government. When man doesn't want God involved in government, he turns it around, throws God out, and then makes it political. Look, I hail from the People's Republic of California. I should have walked out limping, right? With Newsom hanging on my leg. Everything the church does in California is under attack by who? Gavin Newsom and his henchmen. Listen, our freeways are falling apart. We've got fentanyl and homelessness everywhere. And the state used to be one of the most iconic places on earth, but under a constant Democrat leadership of godlessness, hyper-driven on abortion, so that our governor ran ads in other states announcing, come to California for free and have your abortion for free. You might say, listen, that's getting into politics, Pastor. You can't speak about that. I've heard this all of our 33 years as a church. You can't talk about marriage because that's a political issue. Really? I thought that was in my Bible. You can't talk about abortion because that's a political issue. Really? I thought that was in my Bible. You can't talk about gender. It's a political issue. Really? I thought that was in my Bible. Are you kind of getting the hint of what I'm talking about here? Everything that you and I do as a human being and as an American is based in the scripture. There is no place to set God aside. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach this gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Let's admit it. Our nation is a nation of sin, and we also are sinners. That's how we qualify for salvation. For crying out loud. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave for our justification. It's the preaching of the cross. And this nation used to preach the cross. Billy Graham and his great crusades were welcome across this nation. Now you raise Jesus in the public square and you better have a helmet on. Why? We are a post-Christian nation. And we're starting to reap the detriments of that position. But how did we get here? We got here by being silent, I believe, in two areas. Number one, I believe that all blame is to be laid at the foot of the church. Sorry, let me throw me and my brothers under the bus. When the pulpit wavers, the congregation wavers. And when the congregation wavers, then the community wavers. And then evil fills the void. And then you wonder why, how in California, there's a supermajority that we have to deal with that just constantly throws out things against our faith, against our freedom of worship to gather together. And when our governor said all marijuana dispensaries are essential, strip clubs are essential, all bars and liquor stores are essential. Then he shuts down other places and curtails Home Depot and other things like this. And he never answers about the church. He didn't mention the church. So we sent them a video. We're not hearing from you. Where do you put the church? I have to tell you, I was being kind of politically nice when I did that. At least I honored the office to ask them, where are you putting us? No answer. No answer. And I learned something. God said, listen, go for it. Here's the reason why. The church is not essential or non-essential. The church can't fall into a category. The church is transcendent. The church is a living, breathing organism born by the Holy Spirit, purchased by Jesus Christ in his blood. And the fact of the matter is, that was America's foundation. That's exactly what Samuel Adams and John Adams and George Washington, have you read these guys? Have you read them in their own language? Forget about historians. This nation allows you to read these men in their own writing. What did they say about Jesus Christ? The first Supreme Court justice of the United States Supreme Court, guess what he said? John Jay. He said, if this nation is gonna succeed, they better put Christians into office. Can you believe he said that? YouTube would cancel him today. But listen, pastors have recoiled. Pastors have stepped back. In the hour of darkness, pastors need to step forward. They need to get up front. More than ever before. Well, we can't preach politics. Listen, Jesus said, listen, very good. Those of you from the Middle East, you'll get it like this. The rest of us, it takes a while. Do you remember when Jesus was being questioned? Do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And what did Jesus say? He says, give me a coin. And he held it up and he said, whose inscription's on the coin? And the people said, Caesar's. So Jesus, listen carefully. Here's where it gets technical. Jesus says, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God, the things that are God's. Listen, tell me what does not belong to God. See, this is a mind bender. Everybody in the audience knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Oh my goodness, what a brilliant comeback. Jesus, that's incredible. You pay taxes, but you made it very clear that this coin belongs to Caesar, but Caesar belongs to God. Caesar lives in his palace, but the palace of Caesar belongs to God. Caesar's got his salad, but listen, that salad belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Everything's his. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's an amazing statement, because Jesus is announcing that in the day of judgment, those that have been condemned because they didn't listen to the truth will have to admit, you over there in the corner, you up there, you showed me the light and I was wrong and you were right and I wouldn't listen in the day of judgment. So listen, family who loves America, family of God, if you're here tonight, like never before, we need to make sure that as we move forward, frankly, I hope all of you're here because you're voters. I grew up in a Marine Corps home. If you didn't vote, you didn't live to see the next election cycle, I'll tell you that. But you got to vote. But vote from a biblical worldview. Well, you know, none of these guys, I don't know. You know, listen, what are you waiting for? Jesus to come back? Okay, me too. But he's not going to be on the ballot. You're not voting for Jesus, for crying out loud. You vote for the person who holds closest to a biblical worldview value.
All right, stick around. More of this special Friday edition of Washington Watch straight ahead.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But we need your help to keep going. With your support, we can continue to equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Will you consider partnering with us today? To give, text the word GIVE to 67742.
Welcome back to this special Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to be with you. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, today we're broadcasting special content from this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit that was held in Washington, D.C. Among the many speakers this year was Bishop Vincent Matthews. He's the missions president and pastor of Tabernacle Church of God in Christ in Mississippi. In his message, Bishop Matthews talked about the remnant of God, which he said may be a minority in America, but it is a winning minority. And here is how he got into his message.
I want to encourage you, those of you who are here, because it is a time for encouragement. It's easy for us to be in despair. I find myself sometimes getting angry, confused, all kinds of emotions as I look at the news, at the real news, and see what's going on. I get angry when I see the lies on the fake news. I see attacks on my identity. I see attacks on family, see attacks on the church, attacks on the church inside of the church. See attacks on community, see attacks on the nation, see attacks sociopolitically throughout the world and things being exacerbated. As it was said yesterday, the things that we're seeing now were unheard of in the last 5 to 10 years. But they're happening. Much has happened due to our own complacency. The church itself has been asleep and has forgotten who we are, forgotten that the church should be the light. And so I blame us. I blame us in many things. So I have a message today for two groups of people here. The message first that I have is for the minorities in the room. Well, first of all, I hope that you didn't have a knee-jerk, superficial, secular, utilitarian response to the term minority, because I believe there's a lot of minorities in this room. I don't know the ethnic or racial makeup in this room. I have no idea about the balance of male-female gender in this room. I don't know about the sociological classifications of age in this room, what generation you're from. I have no idea of those demographics. I do not know what region of the country you're from, even though the previous speaker was from Mississippi, and I am also. So Mississippi holds prominent here today. Yeah. However, I recognize that there are only two cultures in the world. Now we have 8 billion people now in the world, but there are only two cultures. There's the culture of Christ and there's the culture of Satan. There's only two cultures. 7,500 languages, but only two cultures. I'm not defined by the color of my skin. I'm not defined by where I'm from, but where I am going. And so I talk to a group of minorities. I talked to some people and generally define what a minority is. You're a minority if you believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You're in a minority if you believe that the Bible is God's only word. You're in a minority if you believe that people are not born good, but that they need a savior. You're in a minority if you believe that God manifests himself through his son, Jesus, who is God. You're in a minority in this country if you believe that Jesus is the only way to God. You're in a minority if you believe that God is love and he's a God of wrath. You're in a minority if you believe that God loves everyone so much that he gave us a choice to accept him or to reject him. And those that reject him will spend eternity separated from him in hell. But those who accept him will reign with him forever in heaven. Am I talking to some people who are a part of the minority? Which culture do you really belong to? We've been miscategorized, misdefined, and put in other places, but I believe that we're part of a minority, but maybe it's a minority in America, but it's a winning minority. We're on the winning side. It may look like we're losing, but we're winning. And I read a scripture in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20 to 23. It's a prophetic scripture that blessed me to no end. And I want to read it to encourage you just for a few moments. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped out of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God." Notice it keeps talking about the remnant. "For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of the land." This scripture, this prophetic scripture, comes in a time of impending danger, impending opposition through the Assyrians and Babylonians and against Israel because they had sinned, because they actually had forgotten who God really was. They talked about God, but they really didn't follow the God that they talked about. They talked about the word of God, but they weren't following the word. And because of that, God allowed things to happen. And I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that the result of much that we see, as I said earlier, but I want to reemphasize, is that the church itself has forgotten the God of the Bible and has cowered back. They talks about the remnant, those that remain. There's three definitions, biblical definitions of the remnant. First of all, there are those who have survived a catastrophe or a tragedy would be seen as a remnant. And many of us have survived catastrophes and tragedies in our own communities. But it doesn't just stop there. The remnant also is defined by the faithful servants of God, distinguished about a group who with genuine spirituality and true faith relationship with God. Those are the remnant. But then the third definition, I believe, really applies to us because it's an eschatological definition. Those who are in the last days, who endure the judgments, the purging judgments of God, who endure the apocalyptic woes of the end times, and emerge through all of that with victory, victoriously. I believe I'm speaking. I believe we're in the end of the end times, my brothers and sisters.
That was Bishop Vincent Matthews. More to come on the other side of the break, but here's an opportunity for you to help make a difference for biblical truth this holiday season through FRC's Giving Tuesday campaign. Thanks to a $150,000 challenge match, all gifts given by midnight on Tuesday, November the 8th, will be doubled. And if you choose to stand with FRC as a stand member, for $20 a month by Giving Tuesday deadline, we'll send you a free copy of George Barna's newest book, Raising Spiritual Champions. So text the word Tuesday to 67742. That's Tuesday to 67742. All right, stand by. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Are you tired of the mainstream media censoring Christian and conservative voices? Are you looking for news about the most important topics of the day, presented to you through the lens of biblical truth? We have the solution, the Washington Stand, Family Research Council's outlet for news and commentary from a biblical worldview. You can subscribe to receive the latest news from the Washington Stand in your inbox every weekday morning by texting TWS to 67742 or by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
Welcome back to this special Friday edition of Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, today, as I mentioned, we're broadcasting special content from this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. In this last segment, we heard from Bishop Vincent Matthews, who's the president of the Church of God in Christ Missions. He's also the pastor of Tabernacle Church of God in Christ in Mississippi. And he shared about the three biblical definitions of the remnant. The third being an eschatological definition. And as Bishop Matthews pointed out, we may very well be in the end of the end times based on what we see today. We'll pick up from where we left off.
I believe it's clear that everything has been fulfilled in the prophecies that Jesus gave us in Matthew 24, except for the fact that the gospel must be preached in every corner. We see it all. The brother who spoke before me talks about it. You will hear about it later today. We've heard about it yesterday. The prophecies are being fulfilled. But the beautiful thing is that you are a member, prayerfully, of the faithful minority. The reason why I say it's a minority, because Jesus said we're a minority. He said, first of all, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that we must enter at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. We see that the Pied Piper, the demonic forces, are leading people to destruction. But there are many who go in by the narrow gate. Verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find the way. I pray that you, the remnant, will be encouraged. I pray that as you see what is happening, that not only will we pray, will we vote, will we stand, we will stand with God. The scripture reminds me in Galatians chapter 6. Yes, I'm quoting a lot of scriptures because it's only the scripture that will free us. Yes, I'm quoting the Bible because too often we talk about the Bible, but we don't quote the Bible. And then we quote the Bible, but we're not living by it. And when we live by the Bible, we will be free. The scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. God will not be mocked. We will not be made fools of. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh corruption. But if we sow to the spirit, we'll reap eternal life. And so verse 9 then says, therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't faint. Don't stop speaking truth. Don't stop pushing back. Don't stop raising your families. Do not have the illusion of inclusion. Do not assimilate, but stand firm and go countercultural just as Jesus did. So I talked to the remnant, but I said I want to talk to two groups. There's another group that I want to talk to here just for a moment in the last few moments that I have. This second group is also that I speak of today. You've missed the most important things. There are some here. I cannot make the assumption that everyone here follows the God that we serve. There are many people talking about God, but they're not talking about the God of the Bible. There are many people talking about morality, but morality comes from a morality giver. Truth comes from a truth maker. There are some that like our politics, but not our king. There are some that like our common sense, but not our eternal destiny. There are some who are pragmatic, but that they do not want to be redeemed. Some of us seek love and want the world to be loving, but reject the one who is love, and God himself is love. I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, we agree on many different things, but I offer you an opportunity to join the remnant, our winning culture. Repent. Do not put your hope in the oppressors. We just saw that in the previous scripture in Isaiah 10. No longer will they put their hope in the oppressors. Democrats cannot save us. But the truth is, Republicans cannot save us. There are people who call themselves Republicans who are doing damnable things. There are people who are Democrats doing damnable things. I've put my hope in politicians. I will vote. I will never vote for a politician who kills babies and mutilates children. I'll never do that. I'll never vote. I don't care what label they call themselves. But my hope cannot be in a politician. It has to be in the one who created the politician. There's a higher authority than the Supreme Court, and I give my appeal to heaven. And as we appeal to heaven, God will show himself. There are some who disagree with us, but the good news is that Jesus is our King. The good news is that if you repent, the kingdom of heaven is to come. This is the message that Jesus taught. This is the message that John the Baptist taught. This is the message that the apostles taught in dark times. It's the message that we must teach. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've become a part of an army, and you too can join this army. Accept his love, accept his rule and his culture, then you will accept your freedom. We cannot give what we do not have. There are many people that say they want us to be loving, but if you don't have God, you cannot truly love. And so we must have God. So there is no freedom without worshiping God. When Moses said, let my people go, that they may be free, it wasn't just for freedom's sake. Without a vertical relationship, the horizontal relationship means nothing. Let my people go so that they may worship God. We want freedom so that we may worship God. This must be a nation. Our city must be cities where God is preeminent, that he is worshiped, he is king. And when he is king, when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.